be able to make it, but I want to encourage people to come to that, and I will keep mentioning it throughout the next few days. Thank you, Joe, very much for coming.
Thank you, Deborah.
It's been great having you.
It's been a
good
pleasure.
Good luck on your future projects.
I appreciate that.
Keep building it green, huh?
Okay, okay. Yeah, definitely.
All right, and thank you all for giving me your Wednesday. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush called Pakistan's president directly today with a simple, clear message.
The United States wants you to have the elections as scheduled and take your uniform off.
Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte called the situation in Pakistan delicate, saying the U.S. is urging President Musharraf to reverse course, but he says the U.S. needs that country.
President Musharraf has been an indispensable ally in the global war on terrorism.
Perhaps, says New York Democrat Gary Ackerman, but he's also a thug, and the U.S. shouldn't be on his side.
And at every turn, the Bush administration has given him a pass.
Ackerman and several others on the committee suggested a stop to the hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid flowing to Pakistan, but Negroponte said the administration doesn't want to do that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Welcome home, Space Shuttle Discovery.
It was a perfect landing for Commander Pam Melroy.
It's great to be out here on this gorgeous day.
But even before Discovery was taken back to its hangar, Shuttle Program Manager Wayne Hale was looking at the next mission.
I have great confidence based on the discussions we've had with Space Station team that we'll be flying in a December window.
Atlantis rolls out to the pad Saturday for launch as soon as December 6th, but the International Space Station crew has to do 3 spacewalks and move the just-delivered Harmony module to its permanent location before Atlantis flies. NASA managers hope they can get it all done to keep the next flight from slipping into next year. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Could be a big boon to Republican Rudolph Giuliani's candidacy for president. Famed televangelist Pat Robertson is endorsing him.
I hope he does well in the caucuses and the primaries. I think it'll all be over by February, so we've only got a couple more months. So I'm wishing him very well as maybe victory in the next fall as the nominee of the party.
As companies like CBS say the TV and Movie Writers Guild is just asking too big a slice of new digital media revenues, the picket lines march on, and actress Julia Louis-Dreyfus joins her friends again.
It is in the best interest of all the unions and all of Hollywood for this strike to be resolved quickly. I hope it can be, but I support the strike while it's on, that's for sure.
The latest casualty is NBC's The Office, stopped after one more show by its star, Steve Carell, who refused to cross the line. Federal Trade Commission's cracking down on telemarketers who call you even though you are on the Do Not Call Registry.
Welcome to the National Do Not Call Registry.
Federal regulators announced more than $7.7 million in settlements with 6 companies who've been breaking the rules. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial is 25 years old.
Richard Bernard Fitzgibbon, Jr., Harry...
They started reading the names today. Kramer. The plan is to read every name on that heartbreaking memorial. It's expected to take 4 days.
Melvin.
On Wall Street, rough day. The Dow lost about 361 points. The Nasdaq fell more than 76. Worries about the weaker dollar and the mortgage mess led the slide. Oil and gasoline prices today didn't do much. This is CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge. I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Say you're driving to a business meeting without a TomTom GPS and you want to avoid traffic. You could drive with your ear glued to the speaker waiting anxiously for the traffic report that seems impossibly choreographed to come at the precise moment it's already too late while hoping and praying that the world's worst traffic doesn't suddenly jump out to greet you at each and every turn. Or you could use a TomTom. With real-time traffic updates, all you have to do is drive while your TomTom GPS device takes you there the fastest way possible. TomTom. Go confidently.
MRSA, drug-resistant staph germs have everyone's attention now.
My only child.
Aileen Rivera's 12-year-old son, Omar, killed by an antibiotic-resistant infection. She says a hospital gave him Benadryl and sent him home. A congressional committee is reviewing the threat. The Centers for Disease Control says this superbug now kills about 19,000 Americans a year. University of Pennsylvania expert Neil Fishman.
I think it's a tipping point in the United States, and I think we are certainly on the heels of a national crisis.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Daniel Huffman ran against his sister, Charlotte, hoping to sway the town's 138 voters to his side in the mayor's race in Montezuma, Ohio. Charlotte, who also runs the local post office, won. Daniel admits it was just sibling rivalry, but they'll be okay. He said before the election, Sis had done a tremendous job as the mayor. Probably helped get her reelected. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and you handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your Work Life Rewards card, buy multi-packs of ink, and recycle 3 HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworklifereward.com for details.
B. Collins.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
What's that number?
And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Holy cow. I am seated behind my Formica table where impeachment has always been on the table. And the courageous congressman who introduced H. Res. 333 yesterday, Dennis Kucinich, will join us later this hour. We had a lively discussion about it yesterday. And while there were strange machinations on the floor of the House, it does appear that Congressman Kucinich made some news, scored some points, and just maybe the impeachment process will go somewhere. Who knows where? Also on today's program, the Reverend Welton Gaddy. He heads the Interfaith Alliance. They've just finished a poll that reports that voters think candidates should not use religion to influence our votes. Somebody tell Mike Huckabee. And, tell Rudy Giuliani, too. He just was over there cozying up to Pat Robertson to get an endorsement announced today. Also on our program today, Larissa Alexandrovna returns. She's the investigative editor at rawstory.com. And we're going to compare notes on her reporting regarding that attack on a Syrian facility that occurred on September 6th and the way it's been reported in the corporate media in this country. What I can tell you is that Larissa has reported a different scenario that has not been contradicted by the mainstream media reports, but still there's a lot we don't know, and there is a surprising report from an Israeli newspaper that the U.S. may have participated in that assault. It's unconfirmed, but that is the report, and we'll share that with you a little bit later on. As usual, we'll take loads of your phone calls in the free speech zone in our third and final hour. You can call before then, too, though, if the urge strikes you. We pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Media Matters for America does a great job of monitoring the media in this country and analyzing what they do right and, more importantly, what they do wrong. Their powerful website is mediamatters.org. And senior advisor there, Paul Waldman, joins us today. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. How are things in D.C.?
Oh, D.C. is D.C. It's a cauldron of backstabbing and moral decay.
Yes, indeed.
I want to mostly talk to you about the up-and-down reporting on Hillary Clinton in the wake of the debate a week ago in Philadelphia. But first up, as you heard, Congressman Kucinich is going to join us later this hour. And just moments ago, I powered through the front section of the New York Times and didn't find one word about the fact that he introduced this resolution yesterday, and there was a remarkable debate with some Machiavellian tactics by the Republicans. The Times didn't find any room for it.
Well, you know, one of the things that elite media sources like the New York Times do, and really the New York Times more than any other media source, is define what the parameters of acceptable debate are. They say, just by virtue of what they decide to put on the front page, what they decide to put in the paper in general, that some things are reasonable and worthy of discussion and debate, and some things are really just can be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney is one of those things that is defined as outside the scope of reasonable debate. And frankly, the fact that it comes from Dennis Kucinich, he is a person who is defined as outside the scope of reasonable debate. And the New York Times is in a really unique position. I mean, their circulation is a little over a million, I think, which pales in comparison to, say, the 8 or 9 million people that watch Brian Williams every night, the 2 or 3 million people who read Newsweek magazine, the 10 or 15 million people who listen to Rush Limbaugh. But nonetheless, the New York Times has more of an agenda-setting effect than any other news
yeah.
outlet. If you watch the 6:30 news on the networks and do that with a paper, with a copy of the New York Times in your hand, what you'll find is that all the stories seem to come from the front page of the New York Times. It really defines for the entire journalistic community what is news and what isn't news. When they say something is news, it is news. And when they say something isn't news, most of the elite media decide that they can ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with things like this.
Yeah. And I think it's a very newsworthy set of events. And as you know, I'm one of these people who believes that impeachment is warranted in this case. I'm a realist, and I understand the politics of it and also the timeline, that it is more symbolic than anything else at this point. But I think it's a very important set of symbols. And we report on symbolic gestures all the time. But this one just didn't make the cut.
No, I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that that Congressman Kucinich will have a lot to say about that when he comes on your show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, Paul, I know you've been watching closely, and you wrote a column about Tim Russert's role in these televised debates that have been occurring. And let me just put my bias out there that I'm not Hillary Clinton's biggest fan. But the media coverage of some of her alleged missteps in the Philadelphia debate, I find remarkable. And the whiplash is most apparent on Chris Matthews' Hardball show, where he seized on the moment. And there were two issues where, you know, depending on your perspective, she either failed to answer the question or she danced around to the point of view, to the point of confusing people or appearing to take multiple positions on the same issue. The two points of contention were release of the presidential records and communications between her and then President Clinton during the 1990s. And the question that came up very late in the debate about Governor Spitzer of New York's proposal to allow a certain kind of driver's license to be issued to undocumented residents of the United States. And in both cases, I didn't feel that she committed fatal errors. I felt that her opponents and Tim Russert both seized on the opportunity to try to dramatize what they took to be missteps or openings that occurred in that debate. But what's really remarkable is the way NBC then said, "We've got a race. Oh, my God, Hillary's blown it." And they blew out of proportion, in my view, the extent of her whatever you want to call them, lapses in the debate. And then just by Monday of this week, all of a sudden, Chris Matthews, with his new power ranking or whatever that crap is called, has decided that she's once again invulnerable, invincible, and inevitable. Am I the only one who's noticed this amazing shift in just a week?
No, and there is something going on in the press coverage of Senator Clinton. I mean, there are kind of ebbs and flows in the treatment that different candidates get. And only seldom does it have anything to do with any sort of objective reality. You know, she's coming off of a period where all of the talk was about her inevitability, and the way that the pundits would talk about her, it was as though the contest had already been decided and she was the nominee and there's nothing anyone can do about that, despite the fact that no American has actually cast a vote yet. But then we saw this debate, and I think you're right. They did take a couple of disagreements and questions that perhaps she could have answered better, and tried to create out of that the idea that, well, now everything has changed, and all of a sudden now it's a real race, whereas just last week we were telling you that there was no race. You know, there's seldom any kind of explanation for it. Generally speaking, what the press wants is a race. I mean, after all, let's think about this. There's a reason why we call the reports that journalists give to us stories. They have protagonists and antagonists. They have drama. They have ups and downs and dramatic conclusions. And what journalists are looking for, probably not consciously, but what they're looking for is often conflict. After all, conflict is the heart of any drama. That's probably what your high school English teacher taught you.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons, for instance, why in a race with nine different candidates, they will stop paying attention to all but two or perhaps three of them, because you can't really have a drama that's a conflict between two people, or between nine people. You need two people. You need, you know, Captain Ahab and the whale. You need two antagonists to fight it out. That's the heart of drama. Whereas nine people are just too many to pay attention to, so they stop paying attention to all but two of them. That's why they spend most of their time talking about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously endlessly frustrating to the other candidates, who feel like they have just as legitimate a claim on attention and on the voters' minds as any other candidate does. So we've seen this now, this what seems to be a new turn, where all of a sudden there's a spate of negative coverage. A lot of it actually is discussions about whether she is quote-unquote playing the gender card.
Right.
And you see this particularly with a group of male commentators like Chris Matthews, who are really almost consumed with this, with these kinds of ideas about gender and about really the threat that Hillary Clinton poses. And again, you know, you said that she's not your favorite candidate. This has nothing to do with whether or not you mm-hmm. support her or you don't.
Right.
But there's no question that there's a whole class of commentators, and I think of people in general, who are extremely threatened by the idea of a powerful woman.
And on the gender,
Carlson, for instance, he's my favorite about this.
Yeah.
He has on multiple occasions said that when he hears Hillary Clinton's voice, he has to cover up his genitals. His manhood threatened by just the fact of her very existence. So when you see things like that, you know that there's something, some sort of deep psychosexual thing going on, even among those who are giving us their opinions on television.
And in terms of the gender card, I find this interesting because she had a speech scheduled at her alma mater, Wellesley, an all-girls school, and the soundbite that was lifted from it was where she said, going to an all-girls school prepared me for the all-boys club of presidential politics. That was roughly what she said. And that was then construed as playing the gender card. Now, I do believe that Howard Wolfson and others in the campaign were putting out messages to try to get people to think in terms of gender conflict and that the boys were piling on. I also think that the campaign video that they posted, which just showed all of the male candidates saying Hillary, 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 Senator, you know, showed not a gender bias, but simply, as she pointed out on Friday, that, hey, they're attacking me because I'm the front runner, not necessarily because I'm a woman. And I do think that Chris Matthews and others went into hyperdrive to try to magnify this point when I think it was relatively minor in the scheme of things.
Absolutely. And one thing you notice is that male candidates never get accused of playing the gender card. I mean, let's be honest here. The Republican Party's electoral success is built on the votes of white men. And every single campaign that they run is built on the idea that the Democratic candidate, whoever he might be, is weak and effeminate. And that's why they do things like go out and put on costumes and land on aircraft carriers and strut around. Now, when George Bush does that, no one accuses him of playing the gender card and trying to appeal to male voters.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he's doing. Yet somehow when Hillary Clinton goes to her all-female alma mater and says that that quote that you offered that, mm-hmm. that prepared her for being in an all-male environment, somehow there's something sort of illegitimate about that. And Chris Matthews characterized that as anti-male. Yeah. That's what he said about it. but so it's not okay for a woman to talk that way, but it's okay for a man to do what's essentially the mirror image.
We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman. Go to the website MediaMatters.org, and you can read all about this and many other issues covered in the media today. If you got a comment, bring it on now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Ladies are welcome to call, and you can play the gender card. I'll let you. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Thank you.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Did Hillary play the gender card? Is she just a girl?
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, but they don't know me. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl.
We continue with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. We're talking about the media's coverage, particularly the televised media, of Hillary Clinton following the Philadelphia debate, where arguably she didn't perform as effectively as she had in the past. But again, when I get objective, I don't feel that she blundered, like back there when Gerald Ford couldn't remember Poland. Remember that from one of the debates in the 1970s? And, Paul, one of the latest rounds here that has been misconstrued and misreported, last night I heard Chris Matthews repeatedly say that Bill Clinton had directly compared the debate where the males, so-called piled on to Hillary as something comparable to swift boating. And what Clinton actually said is much less direct than that. He said, "We listened to people make snide comments about Gore, that he was too stiff. And when they made dishonest claims about the things that he said he'd done in his life, when that scandalous swift boat ad was run against Senator Kerry. Why am I saying this?" he said. "Because I had the feeling that at the end of that last debate, we were about to get into cutesy land again." Now, I don't particularly agree with the former president's remarks, but Chris Matthews twisted them in his coverage last night.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't saying that you know, Barack Obama and John Edwards and the other candidates were engaging in the same thing as the swift boat veterans did.
No.
I think that he's right in one sense that Hillary Clinton and any candidate, whoever the nominee is I can almost guarantee you, going to be the victim of a swift boat style attack.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there are 527 independent groups that are preparing to ramp up, and I can tell you with assurance that they will be lying about whoever the nominee is. They will say things that aren't true. They will try to make people believe things that are incredibly distorted. And Bill Clinton obviously knows this, and he's sending up the warning signals. I think that was a perfectly legitimate point to make. But it's not too surprising that it ended up getting exaggerated beyond all proportion by people like Chris Matthews.
Now, Paul, you made a comment in a column that was published by the American Prospect at their website. You were critical of Tim Russert's performance, and I fully agree with your assessment. And you singled out a question that he asked in the debate, starting with, I don't remember now who it was, about their favorite Bible quote. And then you fantasize about a candidate saying, "I'm not going to answer that question. It's none of your business. You are a disgrace." And these are the kinds of things that Hillary was referring to, I think fairly, that there's a gotcha element to the way these debates are being conducted.
Yeah, and it comes particularly from people like Tim Russert. I mean, let's face it, when he says to the candidates, "What's your favorite Bible verse?" he's not trying to gain some insight that will help voters make a better decision about who these people are. That's not the point. The point is to try to create a moment where a candidate says something that they will come to regret, that creates some kind of a controversy, and in the best case scenario, as far as he's concerned, will even destroy their candidacy. Reporters are always looking for those moments they can point to that they can say, "Aha, look at this, look at everything that's happened. Everything that we've told you about this person is true, and this moment just shows us that." So when they ask questions like, "What's your favorite Bible verse?" they're not trying really to find out. They're hoping that it's going to cause a stumble, that it's going to really torpedo someone's candidacy by the way that they answer that question.
Yeah.
And that's what I find so pernicious about that. Now, I went off on Tim Russert for a whole variety of reasons, one of which is this propensity that he has, something that I think he shares with other characters like Chris Matthews and like Bill O'Reilly, this idea that they're just regular blue-collar Joes, despite the fact that Tim Russert makes over $5 million a year and he has a house in Washington and a house on Nantucket, and he's always talking about Buffalo and how he came from Buffalo, and that shows that he's just a regular blue-collar guy at heart. And you can hear the same thing from Matthews and the same thing from O'Reilly, that they're just regular Joes who aren't really of Washington. They're not comfortable among the elites. They're just a representative of the common man.
Yeah, they're uncomfortable in those fancy suits and with those seven-figure salaries, but they're coping.
Yeah, they somehow managed to get by.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. I'm out of time, but thank you for your commentary today. Pleasure to talk with you.
It's been my pleasure.
Go to MediaMatters.org and read more. We're going to take a break and return, and we're scheduled to talk with Congressman Dennis Kucinich about his impeachment effort introduced on the House floor yesterday. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Kyocera, people-friendly printers and copiers only from Kyocera. I'm Charles Osgood. When the Chinese government asked Yahoo to turn over the records of one of its customers, a journalist named Shi Tao, Yahoo obliged. Unfortunately, Shi Tao was arrested by the Chinese authorities and sent to jail for 10 years. Yesterday, at a meeting of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the CEO of Yahoo, Jerry Yang, and the company's general counsel, Mike Callahan, were asked to explain why Yahoo would do such a thing. And Callahan's explanation was...
We did not know the case related to a journalist. We didn't know it was dissident activity. And we did not know that this was a political case.
Perhaps Yang and Callahan didn't know, but their people did, said Committee Chairman Tom Lantos, Democrat of California.
Yahoo employees did know that the Chinese government wanted the information related to Shi Tao because of a so-called state secrets investigation in order to imprison him.
More on all that after this.
Have you heard the news about Kyocera?
In business news, Kyocera begins an ambitious extended-term reliability test on their high-speed, 80-page-per-minute KM8030 MFP.
Independent testing firm of Byers Lab pushed the start button on the Kyocera KM8030.
They've been testing the MFP in what they're calling real-world conditions, but what this reporter calls astounding.
The Kyocera KM8030 ran 80 pages per minute, 20,000 prints per day, through all kinds of job settings and paper sizes, running 1 million.
Well, folks, it's day 50 for Kyocera and no breakdowns yet.
Then 2 million.
100 days and only routine maintenance.
Past 2.5 million pages without a single breakdown.
Byers Lab says they've never seen anything like it.
The KM8030. We don't just claim reliability, we prove it. Go to KyoceraMita.com to learn the full story. Then make your move.
The whole world smiles with you.
People-friendly copiers and printers. Only from Kyocera.
Yahoo's general counsel, Callahan, told the congressman yesterday that Yahoo could not very well ask their local employees to resist lawful demands and put their own freedom at risk. Said Chairman Lantos,
I do not believe that America's best and brightest companies should be playing integral roles in China's notorious and brutal political repression apparatus.
Although Yang and Callahan did apologize and promised to do better, they weren't specific, and nobody on the committee came to Yahoo's defense.
Much of this testimony sort of reveals that while technologically and financially you are giants, morally you are pygmies.
When Lantos pointed out that the imprisoned journalist's mother was seated with the other family members directly behind them, they turned in their seats, bowed to her, and Yang said,
I want to personally apologize.
And the mother bowed back and wept. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich joins us in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Yesterday on the House floor, Dennis Kucinich introduced H. Res. 333, calling for the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney. And in a moment, the congressman will join us. He called just about 3 minutes ago, and he was dashing from the House floor up to his office, where he'll join us here in just a moment. But I was so pleased that the congressman had the courage to confront his own leadership as well as the Republicans and lay out the bill of impeachment, the basis for an indictment of Dick Cheney, leading potentially to his removal from office. And as you know, this is something that I believe deeply in. It is a constitutional requirement, I believe, that when you have a president, a vice president, a Supreme Court member, or a member of the House or Senate who have failed to honor their oath of office, who have intentionally violated the law and breached our Constitution, that this kind of accountability is the constitutional way to deal with it. And it's fascinating to see how it occurred, as we mentioned with Paul Waldman in the preceding segment. The New York Times found no room to cover these activities that occurred yesterday, and the corporate media has given it generally short shrift, although Congressman Kucinich was on Hardball and several other programs in the last 24 hours. It's clear that, as Paul Waldman stated, that the New York Times, in its agenda-setting role, has decided that this is not an important issue. Robert Wexler is a Democrat from Florida who thinks it's an important issue. He has urged the House Judiciary Committee to schedule impeachment hearings immediately. And that, of course, is what I would like to see, because I think it's a critical effort to keep this alive. And we know that given the timeline and the, you know, only 13, 14 months remaining in office for Cheney and Bush, and the way that the Democratic leadership has delayed and blocked these efforts, that it's unlikely that it could lead to actual removal from office. But I don't find that to be a problem. I think that this is something that we should go forward with as far as possible, and that at minimum, we will end up leaving a clear message that when the Constitution was breached, when the laws were violated, that many Americans did not assent, did not accept, did not passively permit this to go forward, just a passive way. And so I think that yesterday was an important day, and I'm looking forward here to talking with the congressman to get his reaction to what has occurred so far, and to help us identify the path forward. If you'd like to talk with him, we hope to get him on the line here in just a moment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You know the number, 1-888-573-8372. And we'll see how much time he has and how many calls we can work in with Congressman Kucinich when he joins us here shortly. I guess the other thing that I want to point out is that Dennis Kucinich is being accused of using this to try to draw attention to his presidential campaign. And I don't believe that's the case. I think Kucinich has been very consistent on these issues. And the timing here is more an issue of the failure of Nancy Pelosi to permit impeachment to move forward on its own path at its own pace. And she clearly has instructed John Conyers, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, not to move forward with hearings at this time. And so will this effort be able to break Pelosi's blockage on it? I doubt it. But I think that that is something that she's going to have to live with. and that many people will not forget that the Democratic leadership openly opposed and tried to table the measure that Mr. Kucinich introduced on the floor yesterday. And as you know, I'm one of these people who believes that Pelosi would do better if she had more Democrats, more real progressive Democrats, in her caucus. But this is inexcusable. 86 Democrats voted not to table the impeachment resolution. And that was, of course, after the Republicans played some games with it. But nonetheless, there were 86 votes that said, we don't want to table this. We at least want to debate the issues. Congressman Kucinich is with us now. Welcome, sir, to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be on your show.
Well, I just want to thank you because you've shown great political courage and leadership, something that, well, both of those elements are sorely lacking. And if we just use the example of the way the Senate caved on the Mukasey nomination and confirmation, that's just one recent example of a lack of political will and a lack of strong leadership in the Democratic Party. And I thank you for going forward, despite the opposition of your leaders, with the introduction of the resolution yesterday. Now, Mr. Kucinich, tell us a little bit about the machinations on the floor yesterday. Did you have any inkling that John Boehner would instruct his Republican members to play games with the Democratic leadership by voting in favor of debate and opposing, at least after flipping votes, the move to table it that was offered by Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House? And with that, why did the leadership permit the vote to stay open for a full hour when it was only scheduled as a 15-minute vote?
Well, to answer your last question, people kept switching their votes. So people, you know, members have the privilege until the vote is closed to change their votes. And that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the first vote was on a motion to table.
Right.
And which means effectively to kill the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So 86, that was a motion by Steny Hoyer, the majority leader. 86 Democrats voted against the motion to table, 135 voted for it. But 165 Republicans voted against tabling, which meant that they wanted a debate.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, when our leadership saw that the debate was going to ensue, they wanted to move the previous question.
Well, and I would call it,
which was to basically have a vote on sending it to committee right away without any debate.
Right, and I believe they chickened out, Congressman.
Well, you know, I think we lost an opportunity. We came within a relatively small number of votes of bringing the issue of impeachment into a full debate in the House of Representatives. There could have been a vote on impeachment yesterday. And I think the American people there are many people across this country who are concerned that we're losing our government, we're losing our democracy, that we're losing it to war and to lies and to debt. And so the articles of impeachment are really about protecting the Constitution. And Americans have responded very powerfully to this. They really believe that, and this is without regard to party.
You're right.
I really believe that there needs to be accountability here, and I think that we certainly move this discussion to a point where it has not been for 5 years of a war that's based on lies. We're now at the point where this resolution has broken a logjam of silence.
And, Congressman, again, I applaud you for the courage and the determination to push through with this against the clear wishes of the Democratic leadership. I'm still struggling to understand what the calculus is that causes Speaker Pelosi to say that, you know, impeachment is off the table. Why can't she simply get out of the way and let the will of the body take it where it will And I believe that John Conyers should be uncuffed and permitted to investigate. And if his committee finds the votes to deliver the equivalent of an indictment in the bill of impeachment, they should do so without interference from the Democratic leadership. I believe that if the Democrats embrace the Constitution, that they'll have electoral success in 2008. Yet her calculus seems to be, we don't want to rock the boat because somehow impeachment could backfire on us and cost us the election in 08.
You know, you might be right with everything you said. I supported Nancy Pelosi for Speaker. She is a personal friend. I like her a lot. I disagree with her and the Democratic leadership on removing impeachment as a course of action. I think that in doing that, the risk is that a section of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 4, essentially becomes nullified. And so the role of Congress as a coequal branch of government is diminished when Congress refuses to assert its constitutionally based authority as a check and balance to the administrative abuse of power. When the war power is being abused, and the founders were very careful to put the war power in the hands of the House in Article 1, Section 8, when the war power is being abused by an administration that engages in aggressive war and lies about the cause of the war, a cause for war, you have a constitutional crisis here. There's an undermining of democracy. American people are aware of that. That's why they've responded so powerfully here, and that's why I think the Democratic leadership is going to, if they hear from the American people, will need to reappraise its position, and I'm hopeful that'll happen.
I was hoping that yesterday, in the face of the Machiavellian tactics of the Republicans, that Pelosi and Hoyer would look at that and say, rather than be bluffed into a divided caucus by the Republicans, let's relinquish control here, let our members vote their consciences, and again, let it see it find its own course.
Well, if that would have happened, we would have proceeded to a one-hour debate on the impeachment itself and on the articles that I had presented, which were all fact-based. This is a very solemn proceeding that is much like an indictment. You cannot proceed from anything but principle. And I was prepared for a debate with a 3-inch thick binder that thoroughly annotated every one of the charges that was made in the articles of impeachment. So we were ready. If Democratic leadership had released members of Congress, Democrats in Congress, to vote, we would have essentially had the debate, and then the House would have worked its will with respect to whether or not the articles of impeachment would be approved, and the case would be sent over to the Senate then. I mean, this was an historic occasion that could have lent itself to freeing this nation from the stain and the stigma of the activities that were taken in the wake of the attack on this country on September 11, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in 2007 with 150,000 troops in Iraq, 4,000 American troops having given their lives for this war, over 1 million innocent Iraqi noncombatants killed in the war, borrowing money from China to pay for the war, that will cost between $1 and $2 trillion. And we had the chance to call all that into question yesterday. And so I think that since it's referred to committee, since this has now ignited the movement, re-energized the movement that exists across this country, people are insisting to be heard from. So I think everything's changed.
Yeah.
And that something will come of this. And I would be expect that there will be hearings at some point.
We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. How's your time, Congressman? I need to take a break here sooner or later.
And I'm with you. If you take the break now, it'll work out for me too, and I'll come back to the phone in a minute.
Great. It's about 3 minutes, so we'll return in just a moment
right
with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. It looks like we'll have room for a couple of phone calls, so go ahead and get on the line at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scone. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network right here on KRXA 540 AM.
This is how we do it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Our guest is Congressman Dennis Kucinich, the Democrat from Cleveland, a candidate for president. And in the House yesterday, he introduced an historic resolution calling for the impeachment of Vice President Cheney. And Congressman, at the beginning of our show yesterday, we spoke with Bruce Fine, a very conservative man who helped with the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton. He served in the Reagan administration at Justice and the FCC. And despite all that, I agree with him because he is fighting hard to return us to the confines of the Constitution. And you mentioned the bipartisan nature of support for impeachment as you have toured the country. Aside from the phony Republican votes that we saw yesterday opposing tabling your motion, do you believe there are any substantive Republican votes in favor of impeachment of the vice president? Okay, it looks like the congressman hasn't returned yet. I was wound up for the question there. Well, we'll just leave the fader up here, and when he rejoins us, we'll be able to hear him. So, yeah, you can't get on that line right now, Katrina. Dean in Sacramento. Hi, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. I just, when the congressman comes back, we can just tell him thank you with a vice president who's...
This is Dennis, and I'm back.
Okay, congressman, thank you. And we're talking with Dean in Sacramento. Dean, go ahead and deliver the message yourself.
Congressman, I just wanted to say thank you so much for what you did yesterday with a vice president hovering around 9% approval rating and a president whose rating is worse than Richard Nixon's. And as a lifelong Democrat, I was finally proud to see a Democrat stand up for a document that has served this country well for over 200 years. And I thank you, sir, for what you did yesterday.
Well, I thank you. And I to me, you know, I approach this with the with a lot of circumspection because, you know, I'm always reminded that this is not about me. It is about the Constitution. And when I was reading the articles of impeachment, I actually had this Constitution that I carry with me on the podium, and I had my right hand on that Constitution while I was speaking because I.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Kucinich.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
I put him on hold because you could hear him, but he actually wasn't on the air, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is that while I was speaking, I had my hand, my right hand on the Constitution, and mm-hmm. on this, it's a little booklet that has the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, and I had my hand on it, and as I was speaking, and reading that, I was also thinking about the founders mm-hmm. and the people that came together to create this incredible democracy and how so much of it was on the line. And so I just felt that's where I drew my strength from yesterday.
And while Dean was accurate in citing the low poll numbers of the president and vice president, their vulnerability is not the issue to me. It's that they intentionally violated their oaths of office and intentionally and repeatedly broke the laws of this country.
Well, that actually is the cause for the impeachment, because, if one was removed from office just for low poll numbers, that's in a sense that that's what a government that some countries have, where they have a parliamentary democracy, somebody can call a new election if there's a loss of confidence. But we don't have that, and we have a system where people get 4 years, but knowing that someone could do a lot of damage in a short amount of time from the office of the president or vice president, the founders made sure that there was a provision to restrain the executive executive abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I felt very strongly that it was time to bring that forward. Particularly, let me just tell you something, Peter. The reason why I brought it up yesterday, about 10 days ago, I was reading a Capitol Hill report as to how the administration put a request in the Department of Defense budget for millions of dollars to retrofit B-2 bombers, stealth bombers, so they could carry 30,000-pound bombs. And the report went on to state that the only mission that it could possibly be germane to was the much talked-about plans to attack Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, and they want bunker busters to attack nuclear research labs that are said to be underground. And what occurred to me is that if you drop a 30,000-pound bomb on nuclear bombs, on nuclear research labs, you're talking about a release of radiation that could create a Chernobyl-like effect in these areas, creating a humanitarian and an ecological disaster. And so when I thought about that, I thought, wait a minute. What can I do here? Can I do anything to try to slow this down? And the only thing that occurred to me that could be done was to push this these articles of impeachment against one of the principals who has been beating the drum mm-hmm. of war against Iran and who beat the drums of war against Iraq as well.
I deeply share your concern, and I thank you for taking that action because I think it's the only hope we have to try to derail the plans the administration has telegraphed. Let's squeeze in one more call. Matt in Sacramento, thanks. You're on with Congressman Kucinich.
Well, I won't thank him again. We've done enough of that. But, I've always voted Republican until this war and occupation. And so I hope when we do restore the Constitution, we'll restore the Second Amendment and all of it at once. And so I support you in what you're doing because it's terribly important, more important than guns.
All right.
Well, I thank you for calling, and this, I appreciate the caller stating his politics because, I don't see this as a Democrat or Republican issue. I said this because people were pointing out, well, look, you're going against your Democratic leadership. I said that my loyalty to my nation is above my loyalty to my party, and there's no other way to do it. How mm-hmm. else can we do this?
Yeah, Congressman, what are the next steps? I got about 30 seconds. Go ahead. Sir, what are the next steps in terms of the impeachment
process? Well, you know,
process?
You know, there's been a lot of discussion with Chairman Conyers, and I also want the people who are listening to know that if you want me to communicate your message through the House leadership directly, go to my website at thesenate.us, leave a message about impeachment and your opinion, and I'm going to deliver these on a regular basis to the members of the House and to their staff so that they know that the American people are demanding to be heard on this. You know, my work comes from an understanding that the American people want their Constitution protected, and I'm hopeful that we can keep encouraging.
Congressman Kucinich, our time is up. Thank you very much. Dennis Kucinich of Ohio.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Economic worries pulled the stock market down.
The Dow's 360-point plunge was its third 300-point drop in just 4 weeks.
President Bush calls Musharraf.
My message was very, very plain, very easy to understand.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The bad news piled on today, and it weighed heavily on the stock market. The Dow dropped 360 points to close at 13,300. The NASDAQ lost 76 points, nearly 3%. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
Stocks were rattled right out of the gate after General Motors posted a stunning $39 billion loss, most of it due to tax accounting charges. Then the dollar tumbled to new lows after a Chinese official called for his country to move some of its foreign currency reserves out of the weakening greenback into stronger currencies like the euro. The market also had its eye on oil. Crude, continuing its march to triple digits, cracked $98 today.
And there's continuing fallout from subprime mortgages. Washington Mutual, the nation's largest savings and loan, forecasts that losses on bad loans will mount and the housing slump will persist right through 2008. But stock market analyst Eugene Peroni tells investors to hang in there.
I think the market will probably stay in somewhat of a range over the short run. But longer term, I think the market will advance.
Now this.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Hi, Michael?
Kathy?
I'm not very good at blind dates.
Me neither.
Hi, what can I get you?
I'll have a glass of Cabot Riesling.
Cabot makes a Riesling?
It's new.
It's rich, luscious, with just a hint of sweetness. Here, try it.
Mmm, that is nice. I'll have the Riesling as well.
Two glasses of Cabot Riesling, coming up.
I'd say we're off to a good start.
Yeah.
The number one Italian wine in America, the Cabot Collection, elevating life. Imported by Palm Bay International, Boca Raton, Florida.
As street protests continued in Pakistan, President Bush says he had a frank discussion today with Pervez Musharraf. That word came during a joint news conference with visiting French President Nicolas Sarkozy.
Revealing that he spoke to President Musharraf for the first time since a state of emergency was imposed in Pakistan, President Bush said his message was plain and easy to understand.
We believe strongly that in elections, and that you ought to have elections soon. And you need to take off your uniform.
By that, Mr. Bush means he made it clear to Musharraf that he cannot be president and the Army Chief of Staff at the same time. He did not disclose Musharraf's answer. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Opposition leader Benazir Bhutto threatens to lead mass protests on Friday unless Musharraf backs down. In Gina, Louisiana, arraignment today for the last of the Gina Six. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick was there.
Bryant Purvis pleaded not guilty to second-degree aggravated battery and conspiracy. Attempted second-degree murder charges were dropped. The 18-year-old's mother, Tina Jones, says that was a relief.
But, you know, it's nothing to smile about because he still could face 22 years with these charges.
Purvis's attorneys want his trial moved out of Gina. He is one of six black teenagers charged with beating a white student after nooses were found hanging in a school tree. No charges were ever filed against the three white students accused of hanging those nooses. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Gina, Louisiana.
The latest recall of a toy made in China does not involve lead. Multicolored Aqua Dots beads can be arranged into designs and fused together when they're sprayed with water. But it turns out the beads contain a chemical that converts into a powerful date rape drug when ingested.
Welcome to the National Do Not Call Registry.
When you register your phone number, telemarketers are not supposed to call, but some have been caught trying to get around the law. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has details.
Six companies reached civil settlements with the government for violating the rules of the Do Not Call list, which currently holds 145 million phone numbers. The companies are the adjustable bed company Craftmatic, the electronic security company ADT, AmeriQuest, Guardian Communications, and Global Mortgage Funding. They will pay a total of $7.7 million in fines.
Officials say Craftmatic ran a sweepstakes for one of its beds and collected phone numbers from the entry forms. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Say you're driving to a business meeting without a TomTom GPS, and you want to avoid traffic. You could drive with your ear glued to the speaker, waiting anxiously for the traffic report that seems impossibly choreographed to come at the precise moment it's already too late, while hoping and praying that the world's worst traffic doesn't suddenly jump out to greet you at each and every turn. Or you could use a TomTom. With real-time traffic updates, all you have to do is drive while your TomTom GPS device takes you there the fastest way possible. TomTom. Go confidently.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show at 6 minutes after the hour. Later this hour, the return of Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. We're going to talk about that attack on Syria September 6th.
Life's bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me.
But first, I want to talk about the role of religion in politics, in particular with the presidential campaigns underway. Joining me this half hour is the Reverend Dr. Welton Gaddy. He's head of the Interfaith Alliance. He also is the pastor for preaching and worship at Northminster Baptist Church, Monroe, Louisiana. And you may have heard him on Air America Radio, where he's the host of State of Belief. Reverend Gaddy, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And just to complete the loop a little bit, I was the original producer of the show called Interfaith Voices that Maureen Fiedler hosts.
Well, Maureen is a great friend, and she's doing well.
Yeah, she certainly is. And her program airs on one of the stations that carries our program, KRXA in Monterey, California. And it is the number one rated program on the station, even though it airs Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
How about that?
There's a lot of interest in the issues that confront religious people, spiritual people, and even those who want freedom from religion in this country, but have an interest in the issues. And I think you've probably found that on your own radio program.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, I've been very surprised that at least 50% of the listeners to State of Belief are people who have no relationship to organized religion at all, but have a passionate interest in what religion is doing in this nation.
Yeah. Now, in a moment, I want to talk about the poll that the Interfaith Alliance released that has some stunning figures in it. But let's start off with the news of the day that Pat Robertson has given an endorsement to Rudy Giuliani. And I just want to use that as kind of a template here. What is appropriate in terms of the intersection of religion and politics, in your view, and when does it cross a line?
Well, Peter, religion has always played a very important role, an influential role in the life of our nation. So it's not surprising that candidates want to talk about religion and that voters want to hear them talk about religion. It's perfectly fine for candidates to use religion in identifying themselves. If they want to talk about what their tradition is and how they appreciate religion, that's fine. You cross the line as a candidate when you suggest that voters should support you because of your religion, the religion you're for, or the religions that you denigrate. Article 6 of the Constitution, as you know, says there should not be a religious test for public office. But if you look at the present campaigns, almost all of them are talking in some ways more about religion than they are the issues that are going to define the future of our nation. When that happens, religion is a diversion that really does subvert the democratic process, and it is a bad thing in a campaign.
And Reverend Gaddy, I'm one of those unchurched people, and I am looking for what I consider to be a very important balance. And so, for me, the extent to which a candidate's religious beliefs inform their desire to perform public service, to become president of the United States, to change certain policies, I'm quite comfortable with that.
Sure.
When it's worn on the sleeve and is used as a signal to certain blocks of voters that you should or shouldn't support a certain individual because of their religious identification, I become uncomfortable.
Of course.
And when policies are promoted linked to an individual's or a candidate's religious beliefs, then I become deeply uncomfortable.
Well, I am right there with you, and I would hope that any American, whether related to religion or unrelated to religion, would feel the same way. We are, as a nation, the most religiously pluralistic nation in the world. At the same time, we're a very secular nation. I happen to think that the founders of our government gave us an unbelievably good formula for getting along with each other amid such diversity when they penned the religious liberty clauses in the First Amendment to the Constitution. And that's precisely why, through this program, First Freedom First, we're spending so much time trying to either educate or re-educate people on the meaning and importance of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you listen to the candidates running for the presidency, you would get the idea that perhaps they are not running for commander-in-chief, but running for pastor-in-chief.
Yep.
That's not what our nation needs. That's bad for religion, and that's bad for government.
And so you conducted a poll at the First Freedom First Project of the Interfaith Alliance and contacted 1,000 Americans and asked them a series of questions. And some of these results are fascinating. Nearly 80% of Americans believe it's important that the next president nominate Supreme Court justices who will protect the separation of religion and government.
Mm-hmm.
That's stunning because we see a lot of Roman Catholics on the court today who are also arch-conservatives. And particularly with Scalia and Chief Justice Roberts, I have deep concerns that they don't have sufficient separation in their minds between their religious values and the political ones.
Well, if you look at the voting records of the sitting members on the Supreme Court, you get very, very nervous because we have lost justices who had a vision of the big picture of the role of religion in the nation. And I'm frankly scared about where the Supreme Court will go with those kinds of decisions. And I have to admit, Peter, I am a little bit surprised at the high percentage of Americans that said that as well, but I'm very encouraged by it. In commenting on that, let me go back and pick up one thing that you started with on the news today about Pat Robertson endorsing Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it is so important to keep separate the institutions of religion and the institutions of government is because right now in our country, you really can't tell what is really religion and what is the use of religion as a political strategy. One of the things that came to my mind immediately when I heard that Robertson had endorsed Giuliani was a confirmation of the fact that the religious right always, from the very beginning, has been a political movement, not a religious movement.
Mm, indeed.
It has used religion. It's used the rhetoric of religion. It's used the institutions of religion. But it's always to advance a particular political agenda. And so right here we have prima facie evidence of someone that if Pat Robertson were consistent with what he has said over and over again, he would be against this particular guy. But this guy advances the political strategy he wants, and so he throws his endorsement to it.
How can I put this? It strikes me that I would like to hear progressive religious leaders, and I'm not just zeroing in on you, Reverend Gaddy, but there's an absence of criticism and an absence of people standing up and saying, Pat Robertson does not speak for me.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily related to his endorsement of Giuliani,
right,
but simply his attempt to advance his political views under the guise of religiosity.
That's exactly right. And I mean, make no mistake about it. If you need to hear it, Pat Robertson does not speak for me.
Thank you.
I don't have time on this show to name you all of the religious leaders that don't speak for me. But I can tell you the principle by which I make that statement. And the principle is that religious leaders who understand religion want it to be strong in the nation as religion, not as political strategy, not as a political block of voters, not as just another special interest group like unions or farmers or that. Religion does its best work when it serves as the conscience of the nation, when it promotes inclusion, when it tries to expand rights rather than reduce rights. And when all of that's missing and people go on talking about religion, it's right for people to be suspicious that maybe it's rhetoric in service to a political strategy rather than to what really ought to be called religion.
We're talking with Reverend Welton Gaddy. He's the head of the Interfaith Alliance. He's with us for another segment, so if you have a comment or a question, join us now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah, Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at Wednesday hump day traffic. And we do have a problem to report. It is, let's go on over to San Jose. A SIG alert being issued there. Looks like this is South 280 just before McLaughlin. Injury crash. 4 to 5 vehicles involved in this crash. And it's clear to the right shoulder. Emergency crew is on scene. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report there. Southbound looking good. Northbound looking also good, without sounding too redundant. Capitola, southbound 1 before 41st, we have an injury crash. 2 vehicles clear to the right shoulder. Fire department paramedic crews along with CHP on scene. And in Felton, Redwood Drive at Valley heads up for a very large wooden block in the lanes. We'll look for the blue and gold PG&E sticker when buying your compact fluorescent light bulbs. You'll save on the price and you'll be helping the environment. To find specially marked bulbs, visit pg&e.com/CFL.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. My guest is the Reverend Dr. Welton Gaddy. He's the head of the Interfaith Alliance.
God had a name.
poll recently conducted for the Interfaith Alliance showed that 70% of Americans say the presidential candidate should not use their religion or faith to influence voters. Somebody ought to tell Mike Huckabee. Reverend Gaddy, we're joined by Warren in Sacramento. Go ahead, Warren. You're on the air.
Hi, Reverend. You're one of my heroes. Thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you, Warren.
One of the questions that's really, I'm not overstating it. It troubles my soul. My fundamentalist and my evangelical brothers and sisters, I'm a Unitarian who worships with Franciscans, and I don't understand their absence in the presence of the torture issue, why they haven't been loud and vociferous in the same way they were for Terry Schiavo. Is just incredibly bewildering to me. Are they Christian in any sense that you understand it to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, Warren, thank you for your question, and I hear the troubled nature of your conscience in your voice. I simply will not judge another person's Christianity on the basis of where they stand on a one particular issue. That's kind of the way the religious right does things, and I've been very critical of them, and I don't want to fall into that trap.
Is it Christian to torture another human?
Of course not. Of course not. And however was the bridge I want to take. It is legitimate, as you're doing, to ask, how can you embrace the basic values and tenets of the Christian faith and not vociferously oppose the kind of support for torture or even the making light of torture that is characteristic of some of the highest leaders in government at the present time? I wrote a blog today for the On Faith blog of the Washington Post that I write for, saying, no, there is no way to justify torture. What's happened, Warren, is that there are many people, particularly in the evangelical Christian community, that have isolated about four or five issues as the litmus test issues for Christian spirituality and authenticity. And if you get outside those issues, that they have very little to say. That is, unfortunately, the result of the religious right redefining Christian authenticity by saying, tell us where you stand on those four or five issues, and we'll tell you whether or not you're a real Christian. Maybe the worst thing that the religious right has done is to redefine the meaning of spiritual authenticity in the individual and to attack the basic constitutional guarantees of religious freedom for the whole nation. I share the same concern you do and say if you are a person of moral conscientiousness and you're outraged about some of the things you talk about in our nation, where are you on this in this discussion on torture?
Warren, thank you for a great call. And Reverend Gaddy, let me just switch to another outrageous issue, and that is the Reverend Fred Phelps of Topeka, Kansas, who sends his minions to offer hateful protests at the funerals of Iraqi veterans.
Yes.
What is the proper Christian response to that unchristian behavior?
Well, I can tell you one Christian response to it, and that's mine, and I am very grateful that the court ruled against Phelps and his family and the charade of meanness that he tries to cloak in the name of religion by fining him several million dollars and saying, you can't keep doing that. You know, The basic principle I have to remind myself of over and over, Peter, is that not everybody who talks about religion is religious. And conversely, not everybody who never talks about religion is really irreligious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that more and more you have to look at the content of a movement and the content of people's lives in making decisions about how they really feel about the basic values within any religious tradition. Rhetoric alone is no longer enough.
Reverend Gaddy, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. I'd like to do it again, and I appreciate the work you're doing at the Interfaith Alliance.
Thank you. I hope we can talk again.
Very good, sir. That's the Reverend Welton Gaddy here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, we'll talk about that attack on Syria September 6th. Who did it? Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Crisis everywhere. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Man, there are a lot of crises going on all of a sudden. Iran says it has 3,000 centrifuges up and running, even though we've made it crystal clear there are serious consequences. And just as we're getting reports of more stability in Iraq, the central front in the war on terror has moved again.
6 years after 9/11, it's Pakistan, not Afghanistan or Iraq. That's the central front in the president's war on terror.
And just when you think you've figured out which country it's in, they move it. Drives me nuts. But I'm sure we'll nail it down and pursue our overall strategy of stabilizing the Middle East to assure stable markets.
Tensions in the Middle East and political unrest in Pakistan have added to the uncertainty on Wall Street, which has sent the markets into turmoil.
Okay, but that won't affect gas prices, will it?
Gas could be on the road to $4 a gallon by next summer.
Okay, but we'll get a break on heating oil, won't we?
That's a tough one. I think right now if you order heating oil, you're going to get it delivered at about $325, $340. And if we really get a brutal cold snap, it could go a little bit higher.
All right, enough. No wonder people hate the mainstream media. But there is a glimmer of hope. America has a new friend in the world.
Et reconquérir le cœur de l'Amérique.
I wish to reconquer the heart of America.
Yes, France now loves us.
Laura and I offer you a warm welcome to the White House, or should I say, bienvenue à la Maison Blanche.
Bienvenue à la Maison Blanche. Very nicely done. I'm hoping that means, could we see something in a light, sweet, crude, s'il vous plaît? Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Ooh.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Joining me now is Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, where she's the managing editor of investigative reporting. Welcome back to the program, Larissa.
Thanks for having me. Well, I can barely hear you.
Really?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. There's a little knob over here, and let me try this. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, I'm glad to get it adjusted right, because I want you to be able to hear me. And I just want to explain your recent absence. We have missed you on the program. You've had some medical challenges, and they're not entirely behind you, so I just want you to know that we're all pulling for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet. So let's talk about the situation related to the attack on a Syrian facility that took place on September 6th. You filed a report, I have it in front of me here, from the 24th of September, which remains uncontradicted is the best way I can describe it. Most people know that this has been shrouded in secrecy, the Bush administration and, for the most part, the Olmert administration in Israel have basically refused to talk about the details of this episode. And so it's been left to the mainstream media, and they have widely reported things that are yet to be proven, in particular that this was a nuclear facility that was attacked. And in more recent reporting toward the end of October, for example, the New York Times, a great science writer, William Broad, co-authored a piece. And again, the hint is here, analysts cite possibility of nuclear reactor. But
right.
Your sources flatly indicate that this was not a nuclear facility.
Right. And on top of that, all of the sources cited in these various reports are anonymous. And I actually had at least one source of many go on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, a major difference. When you have somebody go on the record, that's more substantial. But they've been reporting from the outset that it was first a nuclear facility. The Times of London ran a story that an Israeli commando team had gone in advance and taken samples, and they found levels of radioactivity and whatnot. And later on, there were reports that it was a combination facility, and then even more bizarre, a recent report was that the U.S. actually had hit the facility, and it wasn't Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a really strange turn of sort of news reporting on this, and a lot of the time you see John Bolton, the former ambassador
mm-hmm.
To the United Nations, basically appearing to be both the anonymous source and a commentator in the piece, because you can see the similarities in what is being said, and I often, you know, have said to other reporters that he appears to be being used both ways. You know, first, you know, come on the story and be the anonymous source, and then, you know, comment on the story that you just were the anonymous source for.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that no one has found any radioactive materials. So then the next set of reporting was that it wasn't a fueled-up, it wasn't a ready facility. It was pre-construction. Then it was it was mid-construction, then it was pre-construction. So there wasn't any radiation or any nuclear materials to be found because it wasn't built yet, but it was in the process. At first it was in the process of being built, and later the story changed to they were planning to build it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been truly bizarre, but in reality, the basic point is that they're speculating. And a lot of what the media is using as the basis for this speculation, and certainly it's being fed to some people, I believe, on purpose,
mm-hmm.
is photographic evidence that, which is frankly the only evidence that either Israel or the United States has, is of some facility unknown, you know, nobody knew what it was. There are specialists who look at photographs and determine by the way things are organized in terms of the shape of the building or the type of materials and such, what kind of facility it might be. Based on that, there have been some experts who have said, well, it could be the beginning of a nuclear facility. But that's the extent of the evidence. But yet it hasn't stopped anyone from, you know, running around screaming, you know, it was nukes. It was a nuclear facility and blah, 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 blah.
Well, I wish I could hold this picture up to the microphone and people could see it. But I have here a page from the Friday, October 26, New York Times, with the article I mentioned by William Broad and Mark Mazzetti.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes a pair of color photographs of a portion of Syria. And let me just read you the caption here. And what they showed is a picture taken by commercial satellites, they say, in August, and then another one in October, and they're showing us the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So the blurb for the first photo from August reads, "Commercial satellite imagery taken in August of a Syrian site on the bank of the Euphrates River showed a tall square building near a pumping station. Mm-hmm. Some experts have said the building may have housed a nuclear reactor under construction, and the pumping station may have been intended to cool the reactor." Now, listen to the conditionality of this statement. It may have been intended. It
right.
may have been housing.
And some have said, some being whom?
Right.
It is such a bizarre tale. Remember, this all started with definitive. They had evidence that was collected on the ground to now it's what I had reported originally was that it was only photographic evidence and that it wasn't conclusive of anything, and that our own intelligence folks hadn't, in the second article I did, a follow-up article,
mm-hmm.
You know, our own intelligence people and those in various other countries with whom I have spoken, and I might add I've also spoken to sources at the IAEA, nobody believes that this was a nuclear facility. So it's truly bizarre why this keeps being reported, and even then, when they this is all they have, you know, they have to throw in phrases like may have been, could have been, some suggest, because the reality is that there's no evidence for this other than a photograph of a building.
Now, let me ask you just a very basic fact here. Buried in this New York Times article, mm-hmm. It's like 18 paragraphs down, it says, "The desolate Syrian site is situated on the eastern bank of the Euphrates River, some 90 miles north of the Iraqi border, and 7 miles north of the desert village of At Tibnah, T-I-B-N-A-H. Mm-hmm. An airfield lies nearby." Now, your sources had identified the location as near the city of Halab in the northern part of Syria. Are we even talking about the same precise location?
Well, you know, I'm of the belief that, well, first of all, let's backtrack a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What I reported and what my sources believe is that it was a facility housing North Korean missiles.
Right.
Now, what the other thing I was told, which I think is damning in and of itself, so I'm not sure why everyone's gone the nuclear route, is that the Syrians were attempting to load a chemical warhead, because they have an extensive chemical program, onto one of these missiles, and there was an accident. So, based on that, and my belief is, if you have, for example, a cache of missiles, and you also have a lab, you know, a chemical lab of some sort, you wouldn't house everything in one place. That would be stupid. My guess is that more than one location was hit, but I believe they're in the same general location, like, you know, not too far apart, maybe a city apart at most.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the suggested area, and, there's other areas that have been reported, they're really not that far from each other.
Mm-hmm. The photograph that I'm looking at, again, that is allegedly taken in August of this area that shows a large square building, the one that is tagged here, building thought to have housed a reactor,
right.
that bears no relationship to any kind of a launch site that I'm familiar with. And I'm not an expert on launch sites. They certainly could be obscured. There are lots of different ways to launch missiles from underground, as we've seen with the various ICBM launch sites in the United States. But
they weren't launching missiles. They were testing, loading a warhead onto a missile.
Okay. So then it wouldn't necessarily require a launch site.
No, it wouldn't. And they'd be crazy to do a launch test, given that they're under surveillance by literally the Israelis, the Europeans, and the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
What, in fact, identified one of these facilities was the explosion, the accident that happened in July while they were just testing, loading a warhead onto a missile,
right,
with the help of the North Koreans. Now, you know, they wouldn't need a launch site for that, no.
Okay.
And in any case, you know, again, I believe there was more than one site,
mm-hmm,
that was targeted,
mm-hmm,
as, you know, any rational person, and I'm assuming at least somebody there is rational because they were able to build a chemical warhead.
Now, let me get your reaction to this caption to the photo taken in October.
Okay.
New satellite photos taken Wednesday show just a smooth, unfurrowed area where the large building once stood.
Mm-hmm.
The site is believed to have been the target of an Israeli air raid.
Right.
Syria reported an attack by Israel in early September, but Syrian officials insist that Israel hit a largely empty military warehouse.
Well, it's largely empty. They hit a warehouse of missiles. That's,
mm-hmm,
what they hit. It was a storage cache that they hit. And I also think they hit a chemical lab in another part in the north,
mm-hmm,
as I've mentioned. And I think, you know, a lot of the silence with regard to anything else in terms of Syria's response is that they're afraid of discussing their chemical weapons program. So it's sort of like mutual blackmail.
Yeah. We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Now, Larissa, in your post of October 18...
My article or post?
Yes, your article, I'm sorry, at Raw Story.
Okay.
The subhead reads, Cheney hand seen behind leaks of misleading stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give us your idea and what you've been able to confirm and what is speculation in terms of the degree to which the vice president or his handlers, his aides, might be involved with the disinformation that has been disseminated regarding the nuclear aspects of this facility and the attack by Israel or whoever.
Right. It's certainly not my speculation, but others who are familiar with the event and are close to the situation is the best way I can describe them, believe, and given who they are and their experience, I'd say that their belief can be taken as a bit more than a theory here, believe that specifically that Elliot Abrams and Stephen Hadley, as well as John Bolton, are behind this propaganda.
Hmm.
And the reason for this and the nuclear spin on it is that they have to account for why there were no WMDs in Iraq. Judith Miller had earlier, you remember Judith Miller from,
sure,
the New York Times, of course,
mm-hmm,
who pretty much was the administration's very own, you know, propaganda outfit, had reported that the so-called WMD in Iraq had been moved to Syria before the Americans arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're trying to, you know, tie loose ends together by claiming that, aha, this is what happened to the Iraqi WMD. They were moved to Syria, and this is proof, because now Syria has all these capabilities and such.
Yeah.
And so the hand that's driving the story, certainly it's Dick Cheney, but he's not doing it directly. It's,
mm-hmm,
sources have said it's Elliot Abrams, Stephen Hadley, and John Bolton.
Very interesting.
Specifically, those names are listed.
We're going to take a break and return for more with Larissa Alexandrovna. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
When is eating organic not good enough? Healthy food pioneer Glenn Brooks and farm expert John Wood take you steps beyond organic when you tune into Food is Medicine right here on KRXA 540. Organic feed in your beef and poultry are every bit as dangerous and damaging as traditional animal feeds. Find out why it's so important for the animals you eat to have a nutritious diet. Restaurant guide, recipes, and taste challenge included. Join us Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on KRXA 540.
Are you ready for a little traffic? All right, let's give it to you. Let's start off with a problem located. Excuse me there, folks. Let's start off with the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report there. In fact, traffic kind of, well, let's go on over to Capitola. Southbound 1 before 41st Avenue, we have an injury crash, two vehicles. Everything is now off to the shoulder, so that's the good news. And then we're going to jump on over to, and by the way, Mercy Crew is still on scene there. Then Felton, we have a problem. Redwood Drive at Valley Drive, a very large wooden block in the lanes there. Santa Cruz County, disabled vehicle. It's located Highway 9 at Bennett Street. Now, the left lane is blocked. And if you're traveling in the Prunedale area, San Juan Grade at Crazy Horse, yep, you got it. A cow walking in the southbound lanes. And southbound 1 is a little bit slow and go from Monterey to Carmel. That's traffic at KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. You can read her work there at RawStory.com. Check it out. Again, citing your article from October, Larissa, you say U.S. intelligence found no radiation signatures after the bombing of this Syrian site, so there was no uranium or plutonium present, said an official wishing to remain anonymous due to the sensitivity of the subject. We don't have any independent intelligence that it was a nuclear facility. Only the assertions by the Israelis and some ambiguous satellite photography from them that shows a building which the Syrians admitted was a military facility. So when we add all this up and we see that it continues to be framed as a nuclear issue, number one, are there any reporters, is Cy Hirsch or somebody else, you know, with the mainstream credentials working to bring light to this story? And is this just a part of the propaganda effort to support more military action in this troubled part of the world?
Well, first, you know, I don't think the entire media is, there's just key reporters at certain newspapers who continue this propaganda. And it's the story has changed so much that I don't think that readers are taking this seriously anymore. Whether or not other reporters are working on this story, you know, I wouldn't be privy to that because people wouldn't be discussing what they're chasing.
Yeah.
Maybe in 2 years, you know, like with the Valerie Plame working on Iran, you know, it took 2 years before, you know, it was finally revealed after I revealed it. That maybe in 2 years, you know, we'll find out that I was right, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I just don't know.
I guess we'll have to be patient. We've got a caller, Mohammed from Sacramento. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on with Larissa.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I just, because...
all this report indicates that Israel or Iraq has bombed the site very early. I get some idea that might be just a message to some other body like Iran or Egypt. Iran on dispute with Iraq says over its nuclear program is well known. But Egypt and other countries in the region, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Algeria, Morocco, recently announced that they are planning to start a nuclear program. And in the case of Egypt, they went to Russia. And Russia agreed to start a nuclear program in Egypt. They have come to access, which is Egypt Allah right now.
Mohammed, with all due respect, it's very hard to understand your accent. I'm sorry. Can you give me a clear question for Larissa and maybe give it to us a little slower?
Yeah, my question was that might be the attack on Syria might be a message to Egypt, because the Egyptian mentioned that they are going to start a nuclear program.
Okay, I got that. So, Larissa, he's asking if this was a message intended for consumption, say, in Egypt, to let them know that Israel would not tolerate a nuclear program there.
It's possible, but since the U.S. has no problem with that program, I don't think so. As you know, Mohammed, the U.S. has sanctioned that for domestic energy purposes. It could be, I mean, any possible series of reasons as to why they're doing this, you know, at this point are up for debate, but yeah. I simply don't think so.
All right. Peter V. and Salinas, you're next for Larissa here. Go ahead.
Larissa, best of wishes and get well soon. We really need and love to hear your insightful reporting. And by the way, nobody gets any time off during the apocalypse. Get back to work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike in Sacramento, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Larissa.
Hello.
I just wanted to know if you don't think that it's probably a surefire bet that the best way to find out what the truth is with regard to what the administration tells us isn't just simply to assume that the exact opposite of whatever they're saying is probably true?
well, maybe, but, you know, that there's a danger in that as well because, you know, and I've talked to some of these folks in the administration, these neocons, and, you know, they believe that in order for a lie to be believable, it has to have some truth in it. So to say the exact opposite, I don't know if that would yield, you know. I mean, I think it's acute and it's you know, appropriate, but I think we fall into the danger of assuming that everything they say is a lie, when in fact sometimes they say the truth, but they spin it a bit or they alter information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to have, even if the truth is disturbing, like, for example, that Syria was experimenting with chemical warheads. As disturbing as it is, it has to be told. It has to be known. So,
for instance, if they told us that Condoleezza Rice had punched Dick Cheney in the face at a cabinet meeting, wouldn't it be safe to assume that Condi probably has a bloody nose?
Condi what?
Has a bloody nose. All right, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate your skepticism.
It's cute, but it doesn't work that way. Yeah. I mean, for example, they can't, you know, just say, well, aliens were the ones who bombed the site in Syria. It just isn't believable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to rely on some basic empirical evidence. So this is why they went to such great lengths to get, you know, the Niger forgeries and all these fabricated things, because that gives them some cover of, well, we relied on faulty intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would just based on nothing would be far too dangerous for them. So
now, Larissa, just about a minute remaining, and I wanted to turn to something else that's been reported but strains credulity, and that is a report from the Jerusalem Post that the attack on Syria on September 6 was actually conducted by U.S. Air assets and may have included the use of a nuclear weapon.
Right. But how is that possible if there is no nuclear signature?
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's becoming, you know, surreal. And that's what, this is just the exact example that I'm talking about. Here you have a totally ridiculous thing that even the most extreme on the right have completely poo-pooed, because it's ridiculous. So they have to cloak it in some you know, value of empirical, you know, mm-hmm. evidence. And so I don't know why that was written. Maybe it was to pressure the United States. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it gets murkier and murkier, and we're just going to keep talking about it until we find out the facts, and maybe a couple of years from now.
That's right. A couple of years from now, in 60 minutes, we'll know the truth.
Thank you, Larissa.
Thank you.
All right, be well. That's Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and the Free Speech Zone is next. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The stock market caught in a perfect storm.
We have the dollar at a new record low against the euro. We have continued high oil prices and news that General Motors posted its largest ever quarterly loss. All of those things are making for lots of red arrows on Wall Street.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus watched the Dow plunge 360 points to close at 13,300. The S&P 500 dropped 44 points, a 3% loss. The market continues to worry about the unknown.
Is there another shoe to drop in the financial sector? Are we going to be hearing from more and more financial companies that they're in the red by billions of dollars because of this mortgage mess? And also, does the dollar continue its dive? Those are two major issues right now for this market.
Oil prices moderated today, if you can call $96 a barrel moderate. The damage has already been done.
For individual homeowners who heat with heating oil, the average expenditure this year compared with last will be up about 25%.
Guy Caruso of the Energy Department says heating oil hit a record $3.11 a gallon last week. President Bush says he called Pakistan's President Musharraf today and delivered this message.
We believe strongly that in elections, and that you ought to have elections soon, and you need to take off your uniform. You can't be the president and the head of the military at the same time.
It's the first time they've talked since Musharraf imposed emergency rule. 50,000 people along the Gulf Coast are still living in FEMA travel trailers with formaldehyde in the air. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katan has obtained emails showing FEMA personnel aren't allowed into the trailers.
In this October 19th email, a worker asks if there is any safety reason you know of that says we can't go in a trailer quickly to shut a vent. The response from the director of the Baton Rouge office, the issue was formaldehyde. Then on October 22nd, this final answer from FEMA's head of safety in Washington. Please reinforce, FEMA employees do not enter stored travel trailers until further notice.
A third day on the picket line for striking TV and movie writers, and as CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports, the plot thickens.
The trickle-down effect is about to hit Hollywood, with the writers on strike, with productions coming to a halt, studios are getting ready to send out pink slips to hundreds of rank-and-file workers. The move is not unexpected. Still, for some of those on the picket line, there is concern. Greg Berlanti is the executive producer and writer of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money.
For the people on my crew, I'm hoping that they keep getting work so they can survive the strike. I care deeply about the family that work on the shows.
And the trickle-down effect could impact the entire Southern California economy. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
No further talk scheduled. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, maker of the 8-pound Orrick XL. You know, there are millions of my amazingly light, incredibly powerful uprights used in the world's finest hotels, airports, offices, and homes. Now, you can try my legendary hotel vac in your home absolutely risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. Hey, all you have to lose is the hidden dirt your present vacuum leaves behind. Call 1-800-989-4200.
Reason number 9 to switch to GEICO. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, "Okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with GEICO. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology." Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
A sad gathering today in Columbia, South Carolina. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports.
Distraught family members joined hundreds of college students from the University of South Carolina and Clemson University to remember 7 young people killed in a North Carolina beach house fire. USC President Andrew Sorensen spoke of the tragedy.
In its wake, it becomes our responsibility to grieve, to remember, to heal, and to move forward without forgetting what might have been.
6 other students survived the fire, which may have been ignited by a discarded cigarette. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
This is the 25th anniversary of the Vietnam Memorial in Washington.
Richard Bernard Fitzgibbon, Jr., Harry Griffith.
Volunteers are taking turns reading all 58,000 names on the wall. It will go on like this until Veterans Day. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit 1 bag per customer. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Hi, Michael?
Kathy?
I'm not very good at blind dates.
Me neither.
Hi, what can I get you?
I'll have a glass of Cabot Riesling.
Cabot makes a Riesling?
It's new.
It's rich, luscious, with just a hint of sweetness. Now here, try it.
Mmm, that is nice. I'll have the Riesling as well.
2 glasses of Cabot Riesling, coming up.
I'd say we're off to a good start.
Yeah.
The number one Italian wine in America, the Cabot Collection, elevating life. Imported by Palm Bay International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Speak up, speak out now.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're going to start the party called the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome right now. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You know it. 888-573-8372. For me, it's been one of those days where the program has just flown by. We started off talking with Paul Waldman about Hillary Clinton's treatment in the media, where a week ago, Chris Matthews was saying that, gosh, we got a contest and the inevitability may not be so inevitable. And now it's all back to inevitability. And it's also interesting the way that the media twisted Bill Clinton's remark. He did invoke the Swift boats, but not in a direct reference to the way that Hillary was argued with, debated by her opponents in the Pennsylvania debate now about, 9 days ago. So that was interesting. We also heard from Congressman Dennis Kucinich himself about the impeachment issues and the falderal on the floor yesterday. Some falderal from Democrats, some from Republicans. But if you heard Dennis Kucinich, you know that he's dead serious about this. And he takes it with a great deal of solemnity and weight. And I, for one, believe him. I don't believe that Denis Kucinich is posing, is posturing, is simply trying to score political points. I think he speaks for those of us who really believe that our Constitution is at risk and that this administration, with the collusion and complicity of Democrats, has been permitted to grab power, to trim the power of other branches of government, most notably the House and Senate, the legislative branch, and to stomp on the Constitution and the statutes that stem from it. And so I firmly support this effort, as you know, and I'm gratified to have been able to talk to Congressman Kucinich and hear his thoughts about this. We also talked about the intersection of religion and politics with Reverend Welton Gaddy. We didn't get to all the callers during that segment, so if you have a comment and you'd still like to make it, bring it on now. And you just heard from Larissa of RawStory.com about those conflicting reports regarding the attack on Syria on September the 6th. All my lines are open right now, so don't be shy and don't hold back. Call me now. Don't wait till the end of the hour when we end up with a full switchboard, not enough time to take everybody's call. It's 888-573-8372. Now, in addition to those other topics, you can talk about anything else in the news or anything that you think is important to our listeners. I'd like to throw out one other set of issues. 2 days ago, McClatchy Newspapers published a very powerful story. It may even have popped up in the Sacramento Bee, which is the flagship of the McClatchy chain. McClatchy has an excellent Washington bureau, and often its work gets ignored because there isn't a newspaper owned or controlled by McClatchy in the capital city. Jonathan Landay has been on our program on several occasions in the past. He's a reporter with great credibility. The article that he published on November 5th reads, "Experts, no firm evidence of Iranian nuclear weapons." And to set up the article, he cites the arguments that come from Bush and Cheney. Bush: "I've told people if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems you ought to be interested in preventing Iran from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon." I say it properly, he doesn't. He uttered that on October 17. Followed a few days later by Dick Cheney: "Our country and the entire international community cannot stand by as a terror-supporting state fulfills its grandest ambitions. We will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon," says Cheney. Problem is, we have no evidence that they're working on a nuclear weapon. Here's a U.S. official cited by Jonathan Landay: "I don't think that anyone right today thinks they're working on a bomb." And they go on without quotation marks here. They say Iran may have been actively seeking to create a nuclear weapons capacity in the past and still could break out of its current uranium enrichment program and start a weapons program. They too lack definitive proof, but cite a great deal of circumstantial evidence. Bush's rhetoric seems hyperbolic compared with the measured statements by his senior aides and outside experts. So, as of October of 2007, the facts are that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapons program. They may want one. I don't doubt that in the least. But they don't have one. They're trying to enrich uranium. They say it's for generating electricity. And they are entitled to do that because they have signed the Nuclear Nonproliferation Act. And keep in mind, as we've discussed on this program, the U.S. encouraged Iran to develop nuclear power back when our pal the Shah was running it in the 1970s. So contrast that reality. Again, simply stated, Iran poses no imminent nuclear threat. Zogby poll last week, 52% support U.S. military strike against Iran. So fiction is winning out over fact. Propaganda is dominating reality. These are very serious problems, and I welcome your comments. 888-573-8372. Scott in Monterey is up first. Welcome, Scott. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, I got a question. I was wondering, why doesn't John Edwards and Denis Kucinich just grab their sources, get it together, and say, One of them is going to be the president, probably be Edwards, and then Kucinich probably doesn't have enough power, enough people behind him right now to do it. But why don't they just make that be the team, and then Kucinich will be vice president, and he'll be president the next time. We'll get both of them in, two for one.
Well, I think ultimately deals like that will be struck, but nobody's going to blink and say, I'm willing to be vice president before some primary numbers start to come in.
Oh.
But I'm glad you brought this up, because just last night I got word, and let me do a little typing here, from the organization Democracy for America. That's run by Jim Dean, who is Howard Dean's brother.
Right, right, right.
And they claim that there's no connection between the two. Let's see if I can pull this up, dfa.org. I think that's right. Oh, sorry, that's not DFA. Katrina, can you find me the link, please, for Democracy for America? Anyway, they conducted a poll, and as soon as I get it in front of me, I will give you some of the statistics. But Dennis Kucinich leads in this grassroots poll, and let's be fair, this is a vote of activists. It's a vote of progressives. About 50,000 people voted for Kucinich. I think about 100,000 people overall voted in this this straw poll. What's really interesting is that they compiled the statistics online in an interactive screen, and it lists all nine of the Democratic candidates. And then there's a little button on the left with a minus sign. And when you click on that, it indicates that, okay, if Joe Biden drops out, and he's sitting on 5% of these votes, what are the second choices of those voters? And I clicked through, and on every choice except for Hillary Clinton, when that candidate drops out, most of the votes convert to Kucinich.
That's
so
great.
It's just fascinating to see, you know, how this has played out and the strength that he has among progressives in the grassroots. Now, I want to be fair that I'm not presenting this or trying to project it as an accurate, random sample political opinion poll, okay? It's one of those polls by activists, and, of course, every campaign tried to stuff the ballot box electronically, all right? So I'm not trying to pretend that this is a scientifically accurate study, but it does state the preferences of progressive Democratic activists. And that's something that I think the media is ignoring and that the public is largely unaware of. So I've got it up in front of me now. It's called the 2008 Pulse Poll, and the website is... Oh, my screen just changed. Come back. Here it is. Democracy for America. And, for example, Dennis Kucinich, when you have all the candidates on the screen, got about 32% of the vote, roughly 49,000. Al Gore places second in this poll with 24%. All right? So now what I'm going to do, live on radio here for your edification, I'm going to click the minus button next to Al Gore because so far we don't think he's running. So when you take his votes out, I just turned myself into inaccurate because Kucinich drops to 36%, but he shows 55,000 total votes. So about 6,000 of the Gore votes converted to Kucinich if you take Al Gore out of the running. So let me give you another example. Bill Richardson has 5% with about 8,100 votes. We subtract him, and Kucinich jumps up to 37%. We take out Joe Biden. He's only polling at 3%, and Kucinich at 37% with 57,000 votes. Now we take out Chris Dodd, another 3%, and Kucinich is up to 38%. Let's take out John Edwards. Let's say he runs out of money, runs out of steam. Kucinich jumps up to 47%.
Excellent.
All right, and one more. We take out Barack Obama, and Kucinich shows 61% support in this poll.
Great. That is great. Well, he's the man. He's the one. He's the one we all should be going behind. He's the one.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing great work, Peter B. I appreciate it, and thanks for all the hard work you're doing.
All right. Thank you for the call today. I really appreciate it. More calls coming up next. We take a quick break and return. You can join me here in the Free Speech Zone, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I've got a line open for you, so don't be shy. Get on that fancy iPhone or whatever your wireless device is and check in with us here at the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Well, it is that time once again to check out the roadways here in Monterey, Carmel, and Salinas. What do we have to talk about? Well, let's tell you. We've got Felton. Redwood Road at Valley Road. It's a very large wooden block. We've been reporting that for a while, and for some reason it appears to still be there. Yippee-ki-yay. Prunedale, San Juan Grade Road at Crazy Horse. It's getting a little crazy there. Why? There is a cow walking in the southbound lanes. And if you are traveling in Capitola, now northbound Highway 1 at 41st Avenue, watch out for the dreaded roll of plastic. Yes, it's a roll of plastic in the right lane. Let's take a look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Memeline. Getting word of a problem there. Also taking a look at Marina, this one just coming in, northbound Highway 1 before Del Monte Boulevard crash shoulder.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And a moment ago, as I was working through this web-based report on the survey at Democracy for America, I made a mistake.
Excuse me.
So I'm going to try this one calculation again. When you have all of the candidates lined up, including Al Gore, an unannounced candidate, 24.7% in this poll supporting Gore, number two to Kucinich. And when we subtract out Gore, I've just clicked on the minus button there, Kucinich goes from 31 to 36%. And I misstated that earlier, and I didn't want to leave that misimpression dangling out there. Go to democracyforamerica.com and click on the link to the Pulse poll, and you can see this and manipulate it for yourself. It's pretty interesting.
Try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Yeah, I do need help, but I don't know that the operator
could
help
me. If you'd like to make a call,
that was supposed to be Gabriella in Sacramento, but she couldn't hold on. Gabriella, please call us back. I'd like to hear what's on your mind. Now to Steve in Sacramento. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, I just called in. I was listening to Antiwar Radio, which is part of the antiwar.com website, and Gareth Porter. And Gareth Porter's written a number of books. He's an intelligence analyst, kind of like Juan Cole or Ray McGovern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was saying that the attack on the Israeli attack on Syria was actually based on false intelligence or mistaken intelligence, and his sources were telling him that there was quite a big controversy, almost an argument, but you know, there was debate going on between Israel and the U.S. intelligence services, because the Israelis felt that they'd been misled in what they had done, which I thought was kind of an interesting spin on it. I don't think you discussed that aspect of it.
No, we didn't today. And what's interesting here is there are several layers, and I just want to be clear that most of this is based on speculation and anonymous sources.
Right.
And so we're driving blind here in the middle of the desert in many respects. But in the media coverage, there have been suggestions that there was a dispute between the U.S. and Israel that surfaced sometime during the month of August, and the U.S. Reportedly, and again, I got to put all this couched in caveats because we don't know what's information and what's disinformation, but reportedly, the U.S. said, we don't think this is a good idea, and Israel went ahead with it anyway. Now, that could be true, but it also could be pure disinformation designed to try to obscure where this idea originated, and perhaps, I think it's equally credible, that Israel was doing this at the behest of the Bush government.
Well, it's interesting that they could have been misleading each other for their own agenda, you know, for differing agendas that conflicted with each other.
You make a good point, and let's just go back a few years to the double-blind bluff game that got us into Iraq. We were bluffing that we knew Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. We didn't know that, and I believe we knew that we didn't know it.
Right.
And Saddam was bluffing that he had them and was attempting to use that to stave off an invasion. And so we could have this kind of a double bluff game going on right now. And so I think we need to remain skeptical, particularly of things that are attributed to our government, and continue to drive for the truth here, which may eventually surface.
Well, evidently, Aman, A-M-A-N, which is the Israeli intelligence wing, was reportedly also supplying false information. It knew that Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction, but for whatever reason, which is still unclear, we're going along with this idea of getting Saddam, probably because of what Saddam had done to Israel. And Israel had an operation, I can't remember the name of it, to actually assassinate Saddam in 1994, I believe it was, that went badly wrong. I can't remember the actual name of this operation, but The idea was Saddam was going to be attending a funeral, and a black ops team were going to take him out, but in a test run, it badly misfired on them. The point being was that they wanted to, that Israel wanted to get Saddam too, of course, for what happened in the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one other point I wanted to make, Peter, I thought might be of interest, was Bush came out today and said that Musharraf could not be a, you may have already talked about this, could not be a head of the military and also head of the political head of the government as well.
Well, take a look at what Bush has said and what he hasn't said, okay? He's really only called on Musharraf to do two things. One, to take off the military uniform, and the other, to reschedule elections or to hold to the schedule previously announced. He has not, in any way that I'm aware of, and he may have made comments today that contradict me, but as of this morning, he had made no remarks suggesting or demanding that Musharraf relinquish the emergency powers that he imposed last Saturday night.
No, he didn't make any remark like that. He just said that Musharraf cannot be head of the military head of the government as well.
He's been saying that. Yeah. All right, Steve, thank you for a great call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 888-5, Peter B. Your call could be next here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The Direct Action Task Force Against Torture will be holding a three-day teach-in and vigil from Friday, November 16th through Sunday, November 18th. This event calls for an immediate end to the use of torture by any country. The teach-in and vigil will be held outside the gates to the Presidio of Monterey at Private Bolio Road and Lighthouse Avenue. The event is free and open to the public. For information and schedule, our website is peacemonterey.org or call 831-643-2705.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. We got zippy new podcasts available to you. Subscribe, and it'll be delivered to you every day. We're taking your calls in the free speed zone. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And one of the things that I'd like to comment a little bit more about and get your reaction to, we talked to Congressman Kucinich today about his historic impeachment resolution introduced in the House yesterday, then subjected to game playing by Democrats and Republicans alike. And what really floored me, every day in the hour before we go on the air, I go through the front news section of the New York Times looking for articles that relate to the subjects we're going to talk about on the show today. And so as I perform my daily duty there, I kept turning the page and saying, well, the Kucinich impeachment story is, yeah, the national page, it'll be here. Not a word, not an inch, not a mention. It didn't happen, according to the newspaper of record. And I'd like to hear if you're one of those dangerous people who actually listens to Rush and Sean and some of the other right-wing nuts on the radio, or you hold your nose and suffer through Fox News, including O'Reilly. I'm really curious to hear who has covered it and to what extent they have covered it only for the purpose of dismissing it. That's a very common tactic in the media these days, where the only way a story gets on, say, those of us who seek the truth about what really happened on 9/11, well, they'll put a story on, but they'll find somebody who's really whacked out, who's way off the charts on an issue like that, and feature them prominently. So that an average person would say, aha, the media's covered the story, but it's just a bunch of nuts who believe in that. So if you have sampled some other media in the last 24 hours, call in and tell us what you saw, what you heard relative to the impeachment issue. 888-5-PETER-B. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Well, I'll go that direction. I was going to talk about something in the religious department because of your having the Reverend Gaddy on earlier, mm-hmm. but I listened to Randy Rhodes for one of her hours today, and she did an excellent job of pointing out. She had been watching C-SPAN live when the debate over what to, you know, mm-hmm. what they were going to do about Kucinich's impeachment. And
yeah, in fact, I heard part of it yesterday because in San Francisco it's delayed, and Randy comes on at 6 o'clock. And she had Brent Budowski, who's a great guy. He's been on our program. He's a little more centrist than me, but an able observer of Washington antics. And, yeah, they were watching C-SPAN as the Republicans started to change their votes to F with the Democrats.
Well, rather than say more about her, because I could say much about her, about Randy and what she had to say, I want to comment on what Kucinich said. Remember, Nancy Pelosi came up, and he said she was a close friend. He had a high regard for her.
Right.
And my mind said, okay, but that must just kill you all the more, because here is this lady who is the big impediment of impediments right now, a bigger enabler than Tony Blair for Bush, because she is squishing and squashing any attempt to get this impeachment thing through. And a year ago, she made the big point, which I don't think we realized how big and how much she meant it. She announced it wasn't even on the table, and she's kept that with an iron fist. It may be more feminine in fist at times, but it's still, I think, pretty masculine in its overall effect. And I've written an ode about her, and it's so damning that I'm going to hold it before I let anyone hear any of it publicly, but it says exactly what I think about her, and I am fed up to the hilt with people like her, and I wish he had said, the only thing that keeps me from sharing my ode about her is I wish he had said what he thought her real motives were, because that's the mystery, and until I knew more about what they might be, I told myself, you don't want to have any guilt about sharing this very strong statement about her until maybe you should know more first. But well, he didn't say.
No, he didn't. And that's one of the things that, you know, Denis Kucinich has been in Washington for, what, about 15 years now. And I wouldn't say that he's got Potomac disease, but he has the diplomacy and the skills of a seasoned politician. And he knows how to avoid making his own situation worse. And so I think that what he was trying to do there was generally agree with the premise of my question while not delivering a soundbite that could complicate his relationship with the Democratic leadership even further. But, John, let's go to the gist of what you're trying for there. And I can only come up with really weak arguments on behalf of Nancy Pelosi. We know that she, quote-unquote, took impeachment off the table because during the 06 campaign cycle, Karl Rove went public and made it very clear that he would use the threat of impeachment as a way to rally Republicans to prevent the Democrats from taking over last November. So, on that basis, as a political student, I can say, okay, sensible not to run on impeachment as a reason to elect Democrats because it might be used as a reason to elect Republicans. But once they secured the victory last November, they never should have reiterated that impeachment is off the table. Pelosi, you know how politicians can bob and weave. There are any number of statements she could have issued, that she's studying it, that she's listening to the people, that she's listening to the members of her caucus, that she's listening to John Conyers, and that, gosh, what she's heard is that there are really important issues here that are too significant to be set aside for political reasons. And so she's had many opportunities over the past year to pivot on this issue, and she's chosen not to do so. And then that was evidenced in the antics yesterday on the House floor, where, as Kucinich did discuss with me today, there was a moment of opportunity.
Wouldn't you like to have the fly on the wall status and hear a private conversation between those two as to what he must want to tell her, if he hasn't already, about what did go on there? And it's just horrible. Who would have ever guessed that this lady, who must have been the biggest fear factor that the Republicans had for their losing a year ago, that she'd turn into this giant impediment enabler character who shows no sign? If anything, her intentions in this regard seem to be growing, not lessening, and I am fed up, and all it will take will be just one little move one way or another, and I'm going to let her have it publicly beyond what I've said today.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate your call. 888-5, Peter B., I'd like to hear your thoughts on this same issue. Why would Pelosi maintain this posture? And as an astute political figure, somebody who's counted votes first for her dad and then for herself, how could she not see the opening that was presented to her when the Republicans played this game on the House floor yesterday? And if you need a recap, it's a little convoluted, but we need to understand the word table as a verb. And it's ironic because, of course, Nancy Pelosi said impeachment is not on her table. But the parliamentary maneuver used by her number two guy, Steny Hoyer, was to table the Kucinich resolution. And table means that you put it on the table, and usually it's to a time certain. So you table it till next November. You table it until the cows come home. But that was the gist of what Steny Hoyer tried to do. So as the votes were being tallied, and as we pointed out, the vote was left open for almost an hour, which is highly unusual, what occurred was at first all the Democrats were voting to table, and many Republicans were joining them. But then Boehner called for a switch. This was kind of an audible. And all of a sudden, Republicans started voting for it, which meant that they didn't want to table. Wait, let me get it right. They were voting against tabling, yes, because they wanted to goad the Democrats into staging a one-hour debate on the impeachment issues that Kucinich had raised. So right at that point, when the Republicans made their shift, that's when Pelosi could have released her grip on the Democrats, said, vote your conscience, and I will get out of the way. And she didn't do that. And now she's stuck with a divided caucus and with an impeachment bill that has gained at least some momentum from yesterday's activities. And I think she has wedged herself into a lose-lose situation. Tina in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Tina. It's Salinas, not Sacramento. My apologies.
Oh, that's all right. Nancy Pelosi, it's kind of hard for men to believe that women could actually develop a great strategy. But there's a time when there's enough support, since there's no media coverage, and we have to have, the people have to be aware of what's going on. Because you have to have a majority. And a majority is not just Democrats and it's not just Republicans. It's going to have to be both and everybody else, okay?
Tina, first of all, can you withdraw your initial comment there? This is not about whether Pelosi is a man or a woman. She's the Speaker of the House. And I have a deep disagreement with her policy and her wisdom.
That's your perspective, okay?
No, it has nothing to do with her sex.
Well, that's what you say. Okay, but anyhow, her strategy is working. The public is starting to get get involved. Until there's enough of the public to have enough power for us to unite and unite for the Constitution, it's not going to fly.
Well, Tina, I'm sorry you've got it asked backwards.
This is
a case where she needs to provide the leadership.
Hey,
she needs to show the way.
You have to have the backing. The power in this nation is the people. We can't be looking for a savior to go to Congress or to the White House. The people has to save us. The majority of the people. You got it backwards. And this is why we had kings and dictators and everybody else for thousands and thousands of years. That mentality is, our country is just the reverse of that mentality.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you, Tina. I think
that's
this
a
is
shame. You better think about it. All right? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm telling you why.
Well, you're not thinking about it good, long, and hard enough.
Well,
think about the difference.
Tina, if you're just going to keep peppering me with this stuff, it's not really worth having a conversation.
I am deadly serious.
Well, I'm trying to explain to you that this is not a sexist issue.
Off of that. I'm talking about uniting enough people.
I understand. You don't do that by saying I will not abide by the constitutional remedy for high crimes and misdemeanors.
It's not on the table until it's time, until it will fly.
But
and
Tina,
go real with
she has kept it off the table for this entire year, frittering away the time when it could have been conducted. If you remember, the Republicans impeached Clinton in 1998, right after the midterm elections. We had time if the Democrats had permitted this to happen. You get one more comment, Tina. Go ahead.
The majority of the people are not getting the information through the media. Okay, the progressives are listening, the 1% on one wing and the 1% on the other wing. Everybody in the middle is sitting here depending on our media, and it's not working.
Okay, bottom line is, I do not agree with Pelosi's posture, and it is not a brilliant political strategy on her part.
It
is a lose-lose strategy. Thank you, Tina. More calls in just a moment. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All right, that's the music. It is time for the final traffic report of the night. Let's get you caught up to date, see what's going on. While we do want to take a look at... let's cruise on over to, San Jose. Forget San Jose. We have Santa Cruz northbound 1 and M line. The off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. Really, folks, it's pretty slow. Although we do have a problem in Santa Clara we're going to tell you about. South 101 at San Tomas Expressway. Four vehicles blocking the second lane from left. Possible major injuries being reported there. And Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems reported on Highway 17. Taking a look at eastbound and westbound. Slows in pockets between Monterey and Salinas, especially in the eastbound direction. I also want to mention eastbound 129 slows between Watsonville and Romas.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're taking your calls here in the free speech zone. Up next, Laura in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Welcome, Laura.
Hi there, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, I'm looking at Ms. Pelosi's actions over, I guess, the last 6 months. And it just there's this bizarre deference to the office that she can't separate from the office holders. And it just seems like her concerns are more about being polite and going along and getting along and not making waves. And it hasn't benefited us that, you know, had high hopes for her and voted for her and were happy that she was selected as the speaker.
Yeah.
I've shared my concerns with her office on an almost weekly basis now, and my frustration level is off the hook like many of your callers. And I, quite frankly, can't understand how she can be so tone deaf to her constituents and so rigid. It seems to me now that it's almost like a point of contention that she is going to dig her heels in, and rather than admit that she may have been hasty or made that statement without full understanding or that she wouldn't revisit that as we continue on in our constitutional crisis,
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what, if anything, we can do. I don't know that Steny Hoyer, you know, quite frankly, Steny Hoyer would have folded faster than Mrs. Pelosi.
Yes,
on
you're,
this issue.
You're right,
so
you're right, you're right.
What do people do when the people try to lead and our leaders will either not lead or will not follow the will of the people? What the heck do we do?
Well, we need to elect different people. And, you know, I, for one, am very disappointed with Pelosi. But I also do understand that she's in a straitjacket as the speaker. And her politics are much more progressive than what the body of Democrats in the House are willing to agree on.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly she's been very clear on her position about the war. But she's reduced to these bland statements about a change in direction because she's got so many blue dogs and other conservatives in her caucus. And she has such a narrow grip on the majority that she can't afford to lose or alienate any of those people. So
well,
she has
I sure am hopeful for a good house cleaning next year. But and I would like to add one final comment. I am reassured that when extreme conservatives of the old conservative definition and progressives and liberals speak with one voice about this constitutional crisis, I am very hopeful for the future in the long term. In the short term, you know, I have great fear and trepidation about how bad things are going to get before they stop and start turning back in the right direction.
Well, I share that, Laura. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your
smart call today. Marianne in Arcata, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, listening to KGOE.
Yes, hello, Peter B. It's really good to be on your program, and I enjoyed your interview with Representative Kucinich. And, you know, I looked at this today in our Humboldt County Daily here,
mm-hmm.
not the Eureka Reporter, but the other one.
Yeah.
The other one we pay for. And anyway, no, there was not any mention that I could find about Kucinich, but on the other hand, there was under a column they have in this paper called Briefly, and it's from the Associated Press,
mm-hmm.
and it says, AG nomination moves to Senate, you know, the Attorney General, and it says at the bottom, then the House Judiciary Committee endorsed Mukasey 11-8. And so I called up the paper. I haven't been able to speak to the editor yet,
yeah.
But I called, then I went on to call AP. I got hold of their number in D.C., in Washington, and
mm-hmm.
they gave me also the name of the lady, or the journalist, who wrote that piece. And I told her what it said, the House Judiciary Committee,
right.
You know, 11-1, and which is the number of people in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Correct.
And she
mm-hmm.
said, oh, my goodness. And I said, yes, I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. I said, because half the people in Humboldt County now are going to think, oh, the House Judiciary Committee did that, and there's 40 people, 23 Dems and 17 Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, first of all, a House Judiciary Committee has no role in the
right.
confirmation of the Attorney General.
No.
And so you got a very serious mistake, and I give you a credit for the resourcefulness and persistence to follow up and to find out that it happened at the top. Often
yeah.
you think that an editing mistake like that happened at the local paper where an underpaid, overstressed person just, you know, got
well,
it wrong.
That's why I called several AP offices. In one office, they didn't see it at all. But she, this lady, she said, oh, yeah, it's in my story.
Wow.
Whoops. And, yeah, isn't that, that's a big whoops.
That sure is. Thanks,
so
thanks
anyway,
for bringing that to
that
our attention.
Her, so.
All right, good to hear from you, Marianne.
Okay.
All right, Patricia in Pacific Grove, you're next listening to KRXA. Welcome.
Hi, with respect to the Monterey Herald, nothing in today's paper about Kucinich and the impeachment. You will be pleased to know, though, that there is a, on page 5, a column called The Nation. And it does mention the Mukasey bid correctly,
mm-hmm.
and a bit about Bush and an unsafe imports plan. But it also has an article about a pig sitter who's been charged with cruelty to animals and two students who were accused of battery with cookies.
Well, those are much more important than a Kucinich impeachment story.
Yeah.
Well, they got their priorities right. And who owns the Herald now? Does the...
Oh, you know, it was sold recently, and I can't quote. I'm not going to quote for you. Because
yeah, I think it was briefly owned by the Hearst Corporation, and they flipped it to somebody else.
I think so, too. And for a while, it looked like it might be flipped in a good direction. But here lately, I'm not at all thrilled with it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate your listening, and thanks for the call today.
Sterling, bye.
I got to hop on this horse and ride off. Sunset happened about an hour ago. Well, I'm going to ride off anyway. This is Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We'll do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's the third time in 4 weeks that the Dow has dropped more than 300 points in a single session. Today, as CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports, it plunged 360 points to close at 13,300.
Stocks were rattled right out of the gate after General Motors posted a stunning $39 billion loss, most of it due to tax accounting charges. Then the dollar tumbled to new lows after a Chinese official called for his country to move some of its foreign currency reserves out of the weakening greenback into stronger currencies like the euro. The market also had its eye on oil. Crude, continuing its march to triple digits, cracked $98.
Oil settled back to close at $96.37 a barrel, but traders say it's only a matter of time before it tops 100. Lead was bad enough. Now, a toy made in China is being recalled because of an even more serious problem.
The message for parents is take the toy away right away.
Scott Wolfson of the Consumer Product Safety Commission says they're recalling Aquadots, an art set that turns out to be toxic.
There's a chemical on the outside of the beads of the Aquadots that when a child swallows it and mixes with the chemicals inside the child, and it turns into the very toxic chemical GBH, which is known as a date rape drug, and these children are falling into comas.
The recall covers more than 4 million sets. Aquadots was supposed to be one of the hottest toys for the holidays. Voting 235 to 184, the House has approved the first federal ban on job discrimination against gays, lesbians, and bisexuals.
A victory for openly gay Democrat Barney Frank, who's been trying to get this law for more than 30 years. The House bill would make it illegal to fire someone simply because they're gay.
I feel an obligation to use the status I have been lucky enough to get to help them.
Most Republicans, including Doc Hastings, were opposed.
I do not think it is the place of the federal government to legislate how each and every workplace operates.
The Senate has not considered this, and President Bush says if it gets to him, he'll veto it. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president spoke with Pakistan's president today for the first time since Pervez Musharraf declared a state of emergency.
My message was very, very plain, very easy to understand, and that is the United States